The following is a class from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 10th Chapter, verse number 20, given by His Divine Grace, Srila Satyarup Das Goswami Guru Pad, on April 17, 1986, in Tokyo, Japan.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
What number is the text? Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 20. Translation. Absorbed in the thought of the transcendental qualities of the Lord, who is sung in select poetry, the ladies on the roofs of all the houses of Hastinapur began to talk of him. This talk was more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas. Now, how shall we do the purport for the English speaking?
Well, we usually read it to ourselves, but there's somebody here.
Yeah, maybe that's good enough. They have books. Okay. So just read it through straight in Japanese. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatadi Shatarane. First, I would like to express that I feel honored to be among the devotees of Japan ISKCON. Could you say that again? First, I would like to express my feeling of honor to be among the devotees of ISKCON, Japan. Lord Chaitanya desired that Krishna consciousness be spread all over the world. So that prediction seemed almost like a dream until Srila Prabhupada actually did distribute Krishna consciousness all over the world. And as you must know, he also visited Japan a number of times. We are very fond of hearing about the personal visiting of Srila Prabhupada to different countries. And perhaps one day one of you will compile all the information about Prabhupada's visits here and the things he said about the Japanese people. And this may help you in your preaching to your countrymen. It may seem a little bit of a paradox. Let's translate that. It is that when we, in order to join Krishna consciousness, we have to give up our bodily distinction, and that includes national identification. And yet, once we do that, then as preacher, we return to try to help our countrymen. So Lord Chaitanya has stated that in one verse, that he says, everyone should become guru and save the people of your land. So I may just repeat a few of the activities of Srila Prabhupada in connection with this country as I remember them. Japan almost had the honor of being the first country that Srila Prabhupada came to when he left India. But due to the Indian government's lack of appreciation of Prabhupada's mission, they would not give him the financial support he needed. So you may know this already, how he began some correspondence with a religious convention that was to be held here in Japan. Prabhupada began correspondence with a man here, and the man was quite interested to receive Swami Bhaktivedanta. The idea was then, the idea came to Srila Prabhupada then, that he would write a number of purports to some verses in the Bhagavatam, and they could be illustrated by a Japanese artist. This is now developed into your published book, Light of the Bhagavat. But aside from the historic importance of Prabhupada's early interest in Japan, aside from the historical importance of Prabhupada's early interest in Japan, say that, we can also learn from this his particular vision for preaching to Japanese mentality. Was that descriptions of nature in a poetic way would be very appealing. You have in Japanese culture a tradition of poetry about nature, such as haiku poetry and other poetry. Japanese word, isn't it? Haiku, but my own American way. And he was aware of the tradition of Japanese painting in this way also. So I just mention this as a seed for you to meditate on. I'll stop there. You have Prabhupada's book to distribute, but you also have to understand how to preach. You have to distribute the books, but you also have to understand what is in them very nicely. Another connection of Srila Prabhupada with Japan was, I think, the first time he came here, and that was at the end of 1967. By that time, Prabhupada had already successfully started his movement in the United States, but he had become ill from mostly overwork and had returned to India. So he was returning to his devotees in San Francisco after leaving India, and he stopped in Tokyo. That was a short visit, and he had no people here to receive him. He referred to it as a kind of probing to just see what might be done here. So his report was not very favorable. He met some secretary in some government branch. Prabhupada tried to explain to him that Krishna consciousness was universal, and that this spiritual life could actually solve all the problems of material life. But the government secretary took Prabhupada to be just a sectarian religious person. And he said, our government is not interested in giving any support to this religion. So, I mention this incident because no doubt you also, as followers of Prabhupada and this movement, are meeting the same kind of response. So, don't be discouraged. Even Prabhupada met this negative response, and he was not discouraged. Actually, these incidents show that another of Prabhupada's realizations, and that is that everywhere in the world, the people will be receptive, but mostly the government leaders are misleading them.
Yeah.
So you have to go to the people, door to door, and try to tell them about Krishna, and learn how to present Krishna consciousness in interesting ways, as Prabhupada did in light of the Bhagavad. There is another appreciation of Japanese people that Prabhupada gave that I personally witnessed. I traveled with Srila Prabhupada when he came to Tokyo in 1974. And one morning, we went out for a walk. There was snow on the ground. So, when we were coming back from the walk, one elderly lady was walking in the street. And when she saw Srila Prabhupada, she made a bow to him. Of course, this is an ordinary custom, but Prabhupada took it as significant that she had given honor to a sadhu. And after he left Japan, I think it was in England, he spoke about his visit to Japan. He said the people there are so nice that boys and girls in Japan, when they meet me, they make full obeisances, just as my initiated disciples do in other places. In other words, on the first meeting, the Japanese boys and girls offered the honor that others only offered after they became initiated. Young people, they gave Prabhupada honor by bowing down that others gave only after they knew Prabhupada for many months and became initiated disciples. Therefore, although this country is now intensely industrialized and materialistic, still there is some appreciation for religious life, saintly persons. So you have to find out this sentiment in the people and purify it so they can come to Krishna consciousness. Now the point of this verse is about the particular prayers of the ladies who were devotees of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna was leaving his city, Dwarka, and everyone was praising him. Of course, these activities took place during the time that the Supreme Lord appeared on the earth. Otherwise, Lord Krishna resides eternally in the eternal spiritual world. By reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we will understand that Krishna is not simply a great historic human being. He's not a great person, a human person of history. He says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhupo, I am the source of everything. Matak Parataram Nanyat, there is no truth higher than me. However, Krishna appears within human history when he comes as avatar and displays his activities and teachings. By those teachings and activities, he invites us to return back to the eternal spiritual world. So this particular verse is describing one of his lila in the city of Hastinapur. Now, the special quality of the lady's prayers is that they come from the heart. They are offered spontaneously. The ladies were able to do that because they were great devotees of the Lord. So what is being discussed here is the quality of prayer or the quality of an offering to make to Krishna. The success of an offering is whether it is accepted by the Lord and whether it actually pleases him. So the prayers that are offered to Krishna are called here Uttama Shloka. Shloka means the Sanskrit poetry. And Uttama means the very best of such poetry. That means that all the Vedic literature is actually praising Krishna. Many of the verses are very philosophical, and they are written written according to very exact rules of composition. However, in some of the scriptures, the actual praise of Krishna is rather indirect. That means Krishna is sometimes described in an impersonal way. For example, in the Upanishads, the Absolute Truth is often described as the impersonal Brahman. Now, the Brahman is a expansion of Krishna. It is not different than Krishna. But it does not describe his personality. So it is indirect. Similarly, many of the verses in the Vedas describe the different demigods, like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva. Now that is also indirect prayer to Krishna because the demigods are his devotees. But that is also indirect. So the ladies at Hastinapur, they were not great, but they actually had attained to love of Krishna. So attracted to him, to his beautiful form, and to hearing about his heroic activities. So when they saw Krishna, they spoke things from their heart, like how beautiful Krishna is, and how fortunate his wives must be to be the wives of the Supreme Lord. And they would speak of his activities. Oh, Krishna is so great. He killed the demon Kamsa. And when Krishna lived in Vrindavan, his activities are so pleasing to hear with the cows and cowherdsmen. So these kind of expressions, they may not have been expressed according to the rules of Sanskrit composition or with the philosophical logic of the Upanishads. What is the qualification of these prayers? Why is it said that this talk was more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas? The answer is because it was pleasing to Krishna. So, this is instructive for all of us. We have to develop in our own minds and hearts some sincere devotion to Krishna and Guru. We have to be sincere in our offerings. For example, if you cook an offering for Gaur Nitai, the important thing is your devotion. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you give me an offering with devotion, then I will accept it. Of course, there are rules and regulations that it must be vegetarian food, it must be cooked in a certain way. But the ultimate expertise in cooking for Krishna is not some culinary art like a chef in a hotel. Krishna will be pleased by the sincere offering and the consciousness of the devotee. Yes. Similarly, in our preaching and distributing books, I know that since Srila Ramaswara Swami is GBC of this yatra, there is great emphasis on book distribution. Yes. And certainly he is right that this is the way that Krishna will be pleased. And people will come forward to become devotees.
Yeah.
So the same principle will work in distributing the book, as I mentioned, in cooking.
Yeah.
Although you may learn techniques of how to persuade someone to take a book, the ultimate expertise is not that of some karmi salesman. But if Krishna is pleased, then he will give you the result. According to this verse, he's pleased by the sincere, pure feeling of the heart. That feeling may not be expressed expertly, but that's not so important. The important thing is to make an effort. Don't be discouraged. Always try your best. In this way, we can be sincere. On hearing about these ladies' spontaneous prayer, we may doubt that we can follow that high example. We may say, how can I have such spontaneous love for Krishna? But if you simply try to carry out the instructions of your spiritual master, that will qualify. And even if we are not expert in the Sanskrit scriptures or expert in some particular occupational duty, keep trying to do it and depend on Krishna. Please help me. Pray like that. We should pray not for any salvation or liberation, but just pray that we may do our service nicely. Make a spontaneous prayer like that, then Krishna is in your heart and he will help you. Right. So, I think I'll stop there. If there are any questions, I can answer some questions. Yes? But it's similar. I think one reason is that because these cultures are so deeply fixed in their cultural ways. And they're very fixed in the ways that they're brought up in their culture. For example, a country like the United States is only 300 years old, and the people have no attachment much to any culture. Okay. When Prabhupada or a devotee suggests that they give up their school, they give up their work, and live in a temple, they're more ready to make such a revolutionary change. The society doesn't so much restrict it. So maybe this is the kind of thing he meant, although I have not heard a long explanation from him. So you can take it that you have a difficult task. Certainly if he said that they'll be the last to become devotees, and so that means you have a challenge. So let us... We can examine both halves of that saying. He said they'll be the last to become devotees, but when they become devotees, they'll be very good. Part is very encouraging. Prabhupada said What is the use of many, many stars? We just want the illumination of one moon. When Prabhupada sent one devotee to China, he said, you have to pick up a Sanatan Goswami. You have to pick up a Rupa Goswami. In other words, if you can find a qualified person or make a qualified devotee, even one or two, then they can do great good. This is more important than many, many followers if they are cheap followers. In the preface to the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada said that if I can make one pure devotee, I will consider my whole worldwide mission a success. So since she is distributing many, many books, she can just meditate that maybe one of these books will reach the hands of someone who will become a very good devotee. And even those who don't become devotees, who just take the book, they also get great benefit. Any other questions? Which activities in Prabhupada show that he thinks book distribution is very important?
Yeah.
Well, his activity of writing the books. He would get up at 1 a.m. and every day and write the books. Then the fact that he very carefully, when money started to come from different donations, he wanted to spend so much money on printing the books. He said that a temple should use 50% of their earnings for buying and distributing books. Another evidence is that he personally became so enthusiastic whenever he heard news of the books being distributed in different places. I think Srila Ramaswara Swami is better qualified to answer that question, so you can ask him when he comes again. Any person asking questions? The spirit, what is that again? In the relative world?
Yes. This
white
is
the
relative world. Yes. In the transcendental world, there is nothing in contradiction. Relative world, everything has its opposite or something.
In the relative world, white is the opposite conception of black. In the transcendental world, there's no distinction between.
She wants to know much more
about it. Well, what it means is that everything is blissful there in the spiritual world. Here, if there is some happiness, then there must be some unhappiness. Like if you're happy that you have a child or a loved one, then you become unhappy when they die or go away. There's always duality. So in the spiritual world, there's everything is produces happiness. Even when Krishna goes away for a little while, the gopis appear to be unhappy. But that so-called unhappiness is actually another kind of ecstasy. So even in this world, when we're in Krishna consciousness, we can experience like that. For example, if you go out and you distribute many, many books one day, you become very happy. Go out and say some police authority comes and he gives you a lot of trouble, and one difficulty happens after another. So that may seem to be a source of unhappiness for you. But if you're in Krishna consciousness, it becomes just another kind of ecstasy. Difficulty that you go through makes you depend on Krishna even more. And when you depend on Krishna more, then that's actually your greatest happiness. So this is the absolute in Krishna consciousness. Not that some things make us happy and some things make us unhappy. But everything, even the worst thing, death, is a source of making us turn to Krishna. I think I'll stop now. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.